Isaiah 61:1-4 and 8-11. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vindication of our God, to comfort those who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting for the Lord, for the display of his splendor, and they will rebuild the ancient ruins, and they will restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Verse 8, for I, the Lord, I love justice, and I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. And all who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels, for as the soil makes a sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all the nations. Amen. Danilo, will you come? Let's pray together. Gracious God, you have anointed us. You have anointed Pastor Danilo to be people that proclaim good news to those who are in bondage, those who need your salvation. Thank you for the gift that you give us in your word, in prophecy that comes down so long and is spoken again in Jesus and continues to be proclaimed by us, by Pastor Danilo. Anoint him, give him grace, God, and joy in his ministry today. And anoint each of us to be hearers and doers of your word. We receive you now, your Spirit, with glory and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Rose. Imagine being in prison for more than 20 years. That's almost a quarter of your life. You're cut off from family. You're treated as a criminal. You're confined to small spaces and poor living. You're not treated well there. People fear you. For Eric Kelly, this was what life was like. At the age of 27, he was charged with murder and entered the prison system. He would have been a few years younger than me. I couldn't imagine what it would be like to go through that, to spend almost the rest of his life in prison. But this past year, thanks to a project called the Innocent Project, his conviction was overturned by new DNA testing that proved his innocence. So now, at 52, Kelly is trying to rebuild his life. Can you imagine that feeling? After spending almost half your life in prison, you're suddenly free. To go from exile, to go from prison, to liberation, to freedom. look this story up. This just happened in October. If you look up the Innocent Project, look up Eric Kelly. And in some of the things that I was reading, it said the first thing that he wanted to do, he just wanted to hug and hold his family. Just hug and hold his family. When I think of Eric Kelly's story, I think of this scripture that Patsuka and Pastor Rose read from Isaiah. It begins by announcing good news to the poor, the brokenhearted, the captive, the mourning. At Advent, this is the good news that we are sharing, right? We are announcing that Christ, the Savior of the world, has come to rescue us and redeem us from exile, from our brokenness. This is good news, especially to those who are the lowest in society. But it's also a message that everyone needs to hear. Like Isaiah, who announced the good news, we are called to share and to act on that good news of salvation. We must be a people known for righteousness and for justice, a people who live lives of God's light and love, so that all the nations may know that we are his people and that God is good. This message of good news begins with salvation. That's the first point. At the time, Isaiah was now seeing salvation to God's people who were in exile. He was offering hope that God would redeem them from their captivity and their wandering. Salvation for Isaiah is good news. It's healing, it's liberty, it's release, and it's comfort. It's those first few verses in Isaiah 61. But he also goes on to say it's Jubilee, this idea of the 50th year, where debts are wiped away, anything that you owed is wiped away, slaves are freed, fields can rest, the land is returned back to its original owners. To help illustrate salvation, Isaiah uses the image of a restored city. Imagine telling the people who have been taken away from their homeland, they've lost the temple, and say, one day your city, your temple where God's presence dwelled, is going to be rebuilt. And he also talks about an abundant garden. So think about all these people who are farmers, and that's how they have their food and make their living, who maybe have experienced drought in this time of exile. They'll say, your land will be returned to you. You'll be able to flourish and grow beautiful fruits and vegetables and feed your family. Salvation is a place where God's presence dwells and there is flourishing. In verse 9, Isaiah says, the nations of the world will see what God has done for his people, and all will know that we are blessed. Isaiah has this great understanding of salvation. It's so rich and full, and it encompasses so many different things. I think we would be mistaken to simply think of salvation as, you know, just getting to heaven or escaping God's punishment. That way of understanding salvation leads us just to worry about getting souls into heaven. Christians care little for what happens in the world. That's the way it is. Sorry. But my soul is going to heaven. That good news that we share is just for some far-off time, and how does it impact people? How does it present hope for people now? For Isaiah, salvation is not just this promise of getting to heaven and escaping to a better place. Not at all. Isaiah challenges us to name salvation as a quality of life here and now that reflects God's desire for human community. God's salvation is real, it's tangible, it's something you can feel, you can do, and it happens in this world. It's about healing, all types of healing, physical, spiritual, mental. It's about liberty for the captive, overcoming death, freedom from our sin and evil. And it's about restoration of relationships between each of us and with God. The words of Isaiah were likely hard to swallow to a people still experiencing that hard reality of exile. But yet he was declaring this good news among a nation divided, where leaders played to privilege, justice was for sale, and immorality persisted. As I think about some of the parallels of the context Isaiah was writing in, they're not so different from our own, right? I think about all the things in our world that keep us from righteousness and justice. Before I share my next example, I just want to say, to give a trigger warning. I know before here I've talked about sexual assault or abuse. So if you've experienced that, or you know those who have, and you need to kind of tune me out or step aside, feel free to do that. Just want to give you a heads up. If you've been listening to the news in these past few months, it's been crazy. It's feels like so many stories lately of sexual assault in Hollywood and politics. Men in high positions have abused their power against women. But this is not something new, right? As humans, we have always perverted sex through prostitution, pornography, and sex trafficking. We destroy the image of God in women when we do this. And men who do this destroy our own image of what God wants us to be. And as we know, men of faith are not excused from this injustice. We are guilty of this sin as well. In this area, we need Christ's salvation to purify our hearts, our minds, and our bodies. Another place where I see brokenness is hatred. This just feels like there's so much hatred in the world right now. I've had enough of watching videos on Facebook of white individuals harassing immigrants, black people, Muslims. Because of certain beliefs and entitlement, these individuals feel it's acceptable to just spew hatred to another human being. My own cousin and my aunt were victims of this hate back in October. They were at a gas station one day, just getting gas, talking to each other in Spanish. And some woman came over and said, "This is America, learn English." It's painful to know that some of these people acting in this way are my brothers and sisters in Christ. That hurts. It hurts that they would hurt someone else. We need Christ's salvation to rescue our hearts from hate. And I think many of us today live in bondage. This is another way that we experience sin and the brokenness of the world. Whether it's bondage to sin, to addiction, to bitterness, to oppression, or literal imprisonment. Some of this bondage is our own making, right? Let's not fool ourselves. We've followed our own heart's desires, and we are facing our own consequences because of that. Other bondage or captivity might be forced or pressed upon us by people in power or abusing us. As Christians in this country, we must admit that we've made ourselves prisoners and captives to an American empire that does not follow God. We need to break free of that and return to God's kingdom. Once again, we need Christ's salvation to free us from captivity. But even though we live in a world not yet fully redeemed, that does not stop us from proclaiming the good news of salvation. That did not stop Isaiah, and that did not stop Jesus. This same good news that Isaiah proclaimed, Jesus also repeated in the New Testament. In Luke 4, we find Jesus coming into the synagogue, picking up the scroll of Isaiah and reading it, proclaiming that he is the Messiah. He is the fulfillment of this prophecy, the one who comes to bring us good news. Jesus is the one who God appointed to bring good news to the poor, to the oppressed, to the brokenhearted, and to the captive. Jesus wants to redeem God's people from sin, oppression, and evil. This is the type of salvation that Jesus is all about. And if we are his followers, then we must continue in his mission. If that's what Jesus wants to be about, then we must be about that same thing as well. We must be about sharing the good news to the oppressed, to the brokenhearted, to captives, to prisoners, those who are mourning, and those who are faint in spirit. As a body of Christ, we must be acting on behalf of Christ's salvation and justice in the world. He is the Savior that we need to redeem us. That is the good news of salvation that we can share with everyone today. That news that will lift the hearts of the lowly and scatter the powerful and prideful ones. We must not be discouraged by our failures or the sin that we see around us. But we must faithfully share the gospel of God's salvation for everyone. Ultimately, it will be our righteousness and our justice that brings joy to the nations. As our theme this morning with Advent is about joy, I think even though there's some maybe there's some hard things to hear or to do, I think there's still joy when God's people live out righteousness and justice. The world will see that God's people are different. People will experience joy because of us, our good works that we do, our love for God. Only then will the nations know that we are people blessed by God. We will be like a sign that points to heaven, a sign that points to salvation. Jesus is the one that you need. Jesus is the Savior. God is in control, and he comes to redeem you. As we think about this mission and this good news that we have to share with others, I appreciated what the biblical scholar N.T. Wright had to say about mission and about being God's people in the world sharing this good news. He said, to be missional is to live as people of good news, of liberation, of justice, of righteousness, and comfort in such a way that the world may take notice and be drawn to the ways of God. Because of this salvation that Christ brings to us here in this Christmas and in this Advent season, we have something to share, something to proclaim, something that is good, and that there is hope. A couple of examples of ways that I see righteousness and justice and sharing the gospel in our community. First, I think of righteousness. I think particularly of Smita and Pam, who have been staying with Kuke overnight at the hospital and just praying with her, being a presence with them. Both Pam and Smita, they are faithful and committed, praying with her, encouraging her. Prayer is powerful. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. As a community, we gather around each other and have faith in God, that God is able to walk alongside Kuke and her family in this time of need. And I think about justice. I particularly think about the other week, there was an ecumenical gathering. So it's just different clergies from different church traditions. They gathered together and they read 2,000 Bible verses in defense of the poor and vulnerable against this new tax plan that is being proposed. As a symbol of saying, we want to speak out for those who are low and poor and vulnerable. We want to be God's voice speaking to those in power. They were willing to do this and go in front of governmental officials, standing up for what is right and to protect something that would hurt so many people. Some of the clergy were arrested for doing what they thought was right. They were willing to make that sacrifice to stand up for justice. And the third thing that I thought about, sharing the gospel. I thought of our simple thing of Christmas caroling this past Friday. For those who were able to come out and willing to risk the roads on that snowy Friday afternoon or Friday evening, we gathered together to sing songs like Joy to the World and Angels We Have Heard on High, O Come All Ye Faithful, like we sang this morning. We went around here in our neighborhood singing these songs, singing to maybe people who don't know who Christ is. I thought of the one stop we made that was just around the corner. We started singing, and they opened the door, and this young woman came out and was listening to us. The person who lived there, her name was Loretta. I think that was right, Loretta. Her caregiver gave out, and she was kind of, after we were done singing, she was sharing. She was like, man, you know, I've seen Caroline on TV, but I've never experienced it. You know, it's so beautiful. So thank you so much. You know, this is such a joy. And then I guess it was Loretta's boyfriend kind of explaining just her condition and what she's going through. I think she had MS is what they said. And so we got to talk with them. And, as we were leaving, the young woman asked, where's your church or when are your services? And I just thought about this. I thought about the songs that we're singing and the interactions we got to have. You know, if you actually look at some of the words in our Christmas carols, that's singing some of our theology, right? That's singing some of our hope and the good news. We're proclaiming that Christ is our Savior. Christ is coming to redeem us. How powerful it is and what a privilege it is to share the gospel and singing songs to people who don't know Christ. And I thought about our mission statement, to be the people of God, inviting others to know God. As we are the people of God around our community, inviting others to know God, the hope is that we are light to the people right around our block, but also those in Allentown. As we reflect God's righteousness and justice, others will want to know the Savior that we believe in. In closing, I want to remind us of this. As we walk through the last days of Advent, we remember not just that Jesus came to this earth, but why Jesus came. He came to bring us salvation, to usher in a Jubilee celebration that would have no end. Praise God for making a way of salvation. Praise God that He wants to redeem us from oppression, sin, and death. This is the good news that each of us has a part to share to all the people around us. As we act in righteousness and justice, both together, hand in hand, may God receive all the praise and the glory. May people experience life and hope and joy because of the Savior that we believe in. Amen.